The Great Storm, Continuation.
We did not dare to reply that it had not been this sort of weather when we left home. We took off our coats and sat down and looked at him while he went on mending shoes. We were very hungry, but we did not dare to say so. The cobbler made coffee for himself and drank it and ate sandwiches, but he did not offer us anything. It was very different from when we went to Christina's cottage in a thunderstorm. At dusk, it stopped snowing and blowing, but there were such large drifts that we could not imagine how we were going to get home. I longed to be at home with Mother and comfortably in bed. Suddenly, we heard sleigh bells out in the snow. We rushed to the window and looked out, and there was Father with the snowplow. We opened the door and shrieked at him, although the cobbler said crossly, "Don't let the cold air in." Father was very pleased when he saw us and shouted that he just had to plough as far as the village, but that he would pick us up on his way back. And so he did, and Anna and I were allowed to sit in the snowplough, but the others had to walk behind it. The plough had cleared the road so well that there were no more difficulties when it had passed. When we got home, Mother was standing in the kitchen window, looking out anxiously. Lars and Pip and I were given hot meat soup with dumplings in it, and I really don't think I have ever tasted anything so good either before or since. I ate 3 platefuls. Afterwards, I went to bed at once, and that was lovely. Mother said that she had had a strong feeling that Father should take the snowplough, for she was certain we were somewhere on the road. It was lucky that she had had that feeling, for otherwise we should probably have had to stay the whole night with the cobbler.